World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I was just pondering as I came down the multi-million dollar escalator over there. I was just pondering something. The devil's a liar. Did you guys know that? The devil's a liar. And the truth of the matter is the devil's weapons are lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies. Jesus is the truth. Satan is the father of lies. And Satan's greatest weapon is fear. Fear. If you just stop for a second, ask yourself this question. Think of some of the things that you would do if there wasn't for fear. Businesses you maybe would have started. Vacations maybe you would have gone on. Activities that seemed risky that you just, I don't know if I should go. Vacations you would have taken, but you didn't know if you could take a time off at work. And just all the stuff. And it's all, see, folks, faith and fear are fire and water. They are mutually exclusive. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. They can't. Fire and water. Wherever the water is, the fire goes out. Wherever the fire is, the water will evaporate, right? They are mutually exclusive. We live in a culture and a society that is fear-driven, fear-based. Be afraid of the blacks, be afraid of the Jews, be afraid of the Muslims, be afraid. Does anybody see this other than me, that the stuff that's going on? Just ask yourself this very simple question. How many things is it in your life, as you look back over your shoulder, things you didn't do because you were afraid? Afraid of what might happen. And so we look in a society, we look at the culture that's going on around us. Most see, there's a difference between being prudent and smart and being driven by fear. What was it John F. Kennedy said? Some men see things as they are and ask why, and others see things as they are. Ask why not? Why not? Let's go, dude. Let's go. You just wouldn't. You know, we're getting organized for this weekend, and people are starting to come in already. And thank God for, you know, Steve Dex come in, and George came in mode yesterday and got a lot going on, more coming in today, and a lot to be done. But hey, friends, are you looking at me? Stop sending me emails about, well, I need to be afraid. You need to worry about this. You need to worry about this. You need to worry. Hell, I know that. I know that. But God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. Folks, you missed it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And I can't tell you how many people I know, and those, including those who are looking in this camera at me right now today, whose lives are motivated by fear. Think of the things you would do if you knew it was going to work out okay. Oh, should I invest in that? Should I buy that? How many of you right now wish maybe 30 years ago you'd have bought about 10 different homes? And now they'd be worth whatever. And say, well, I just didn't, you know, I didn't do that. Why? Because it's fear. It's fear. And golly, think of Christopher Columbus. Think of those pilgrims who jumped on that boat. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't really have compasses. They didn't even know where the hell they were. In fact, they ended up in the wrong place. Think how many people wished they had gone. I won't live like that, friends. I won't live like that. I won't live like that. And it gets old, you know, the greater your impact, the greater the responsibility. But at the end of the day, it's me, my wife, and my family. That's what I'm fighting for. That's what I'm standing for. I'd like to help everybody I can, but not at the expense of those that I have been given the mandate of God to love and protect. I'm not going to do it. And so a lot of times that means you're going to have to step your foot into some place you don't feel comfortable. Oh, man. We talked about miracles yesterday. I want to dive back into that because I got a lot of emails from people saying, man, that was encouraging. That was encouraging, right? And look, Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It says a good man, but it's righteous. George will be all over that one. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, so ask yourself this way. Are you a good man? Well, I'm not a good man, but I'm a righteous man through the blood of Jesus. So the scripture says that the steps of a righteous man washed in the blood of Jesus are ordered by the Lord. And just like I'm a daddy, I would no way ever desert my grandchildren. Wherever they're going, I'm going to be with them. It's hard for us to understand that we really and truly, Christianity is the only religion that talks about a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're the only ones. And it says right here that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, just stop a minute. Is this a lie? Has God really allowed me to go through some of the crap I've gone through? Really? What? You mean he could have prevented that and he didn't? You mean he didn't know that was going on? Are you kidding me? And he let that happen to me? Really? Well, if we believe it, steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Look. And he, is that the Lord? Delighteth in his way. I think the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we're delighted where we go. Why? Because we know we're under the unction of the Holy Spirit. We're in his will. No matter what happens to you, you are in his will. He is in the business of taking bad things and making them good. All things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? It doesn't say all things are good. It said all things work together for good. And just a little bit of a confession here. Do you have any idea how much pastors hate me? Not all of them. Do you have any idea? Because why? I upset the apple cart. They want things calm. They want things to be calm. Come on, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And come in, we'll play some music, raise your hands, and you give a good tithe, and you can go home and be a Christian. Well, that's all good. But I kind of like Gideon's army. Me, particularly, I feel like I'm a member of Gideon's army. Where is it? Is that in Judges? Judges 2? Is that Gideon's army? Doesn't matter. You don't have to go there. The steps of a righteous man. George, I know you're listening out there. It isn't good. The original translation was not good. You know, such thing as a good man. It's a man made righteous by the blood of Jesus. The steps of a righteous man made righteous by the blood of Jesus are ordered by the Lord. And can I tell you something? I've learned this in my life. Because of my relationship with Christ, he can trust me with some bad stuff sometimes. Sometimes bad stuff happens. He knows I'm not going to turn my back and curse him. Curse God. What does it say? Curse God and die? I'm going to curse God and die? Hey, no. It's like the old football coach in me. You knew when the game was on the line, you knew the guys you could count on. No matter how tough you got, you knew three or four or five of them out there, and they were fighting to the freaking end. Does that remind you of many Christians? And so when we come into this culture and this society and say, folks, it's a war. Get your armor on. Let's go to war. They don't want to do it. They want to send somebody else to war, right? So I look at what's going on over in the Middle East, and people, they don't, you know, we're ambivalent. We don't know how we feel about that. Well, I know how I'd feel about it if it was my son. What about you? I'd be saying, get the hell out of there. Get my boy out of there. Right? That's what I would be saying. And so whether we want to admit this or not, folks, the enemy is running a lot of what's going on around us. And if you think that there are people in positions of power who are not Christians and are doing righteous things, I don't even know what to tell you. It's hard to do a righteous thing if you're a saved man, if you're a fully sold out saved man. It's hard. Can you imagine the temptations that the wicked give into? Because the Bible says that the wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Who's exalted in America? Get away from Donald Trump a minute. Look across the spectrum of America. Who are the men that are exalted? Are they people that you'd want your grandson to be like? No, no. Selfishness. Hey, can I say this? We have selfishness in the pulpit. We have selfishness in the pulpit. Greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life. It's selfishness in the pulpit. Bigger ministry. I every day, I wish my audience was a million. Every day. Probably if my audience was a million, I'd probably be dead. They wouldn't continue to allow this truth to come out. This opposing truth. This truth that makes people uncomfortable. This truth who, when people tune in, said, I can't watch Coach Dave anymore because I just don't agree with Deba. Right, right? And so we divide over stuff that nobody really knows. People get mad at me because I say, listen, I ain't sorry. I may be blind, but I don't want my grandson to go die for Israel. I'm sorry. Am I crazy to say that? I'm a strong Christian man. I don't want my son to do that. So not everything we see is as it is, right? It really isn't. And so what comes down to it at the end of the day, it's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, my wife, and my family. That's it. That's it. I got friends. Steve Dex came in last night. Chad's here. More coming in. I know this, at the end of the day, Chad's looking out for Chad, and Steve's looking out for Steve, and you're looking out for you, and you should be. And so when we put our trust in men, we are going to be let down. It's just a reality. Look at Jesus. Look at his 12 disciples. They all of his buds, those same guys, when he was at the Sermon on the Mount, he got up here, and what do you tell him? You guys, you're going to forsake me. Huh? And then he gets in the Last Supper. He's at the Last Supper, and he says it again. He says, one of you here is going to betray me. And what happens? Why, he exposed himself, didn't he? Oh, yeah. He said, who would that be? Who would that be? And all of a sudden, we found out who it would be. And Jesus looked at him and said, hey, Judas, what you got to do, do quickly. So the ebb and flow of life, we don't really have an understanding of it. And I would tell you this, from my personal standpoint, I don't really understand the depth of evil, but I'm telling you, it's pretty damn deep. Pretty damn deep. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. Lies, deception, and fear. Hence the theme at Coach Dave Live, who told you that? And why do you believe it? So I want you to know here as we jump off, you know, we have this great event coming this weekend, and I get some nasty emails from people. I'm telling you, we are going to be pushing, just so you know. Brent, are you looking at me? I ain't going to give the plans to anybody out there right now who's watching. They said, where are we going to go? Why the hell would I tell them that? Somebody explain that to me. Why would I tell them where we're going to go and when we're going to be? Why would I do that? So we got a good crowd. We got a good crowd. And it's not too late for some of you to come. If you want to come, all we're asking you to do is chip in and commit to buying your own meal. Actually, we sell the meal ticket because it you got some skin in the game. You're going to show up. If you just register and you don't have to pay anything, you say, I ain't going to go. And so we got folks. I want to get off of that. This is going to be an unbelievable weekend. You know what's going to be so unbelievable about it? I'm going to hang out. I get to hang out with Dave Allison. You're going to play that music? I'm going to hang out with him. Spend some time with Ray LeBlanc and Jane. Are you kidding me? All these people that I just see through this screen, they're going to be here? You're going to be here? And somebody said to me the other day, Coach Dave, I don't need to go anywhere. I just want to sit around and bask in all these people that I see and I love. And I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Gain a little bit of knowledge. It's all about relationships at the end of the day. I'll do anything for Ray LeBlanc. Ray, I'm telling you, I'll do anything for you. Why? Because I know Ray LeBlanc's beginnings here at Coach Dave Live. I know where he started, and I know where he is, and I know the price that he's had to pay. I'm all in on Ray LeBlanc. I'm all in on Dave Allison. I'm all in on Chad. I could go down the list. See, this stuff's a two-way street, folks. It's a two-way street. When we get to the point where we get the oldest trick in the book, divide and conquer, when we get in conflict over do I serve this guy or do I serve this guy, hey, I ain't asking you to serve nobody. I'm not asking you to serve me. But I'm telling you this. There are a lot of you who are watching this show right now whose lives have changed because you've been in this home. Would anybody amen me out there? I need a little bit of feedback. Anybody want to just say amen? Amen? That you're not the same person?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You're not the same person you were 3 years ago. Not the same person. And it ain't got nothing to do with whether you're following Coach Dave. Didn't have anything to do with that. Because we try to do every kid. The Bible says that we're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Let me say that again. A pastor is supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Spencer, can you find that real quick? Steps of a good man. Hey, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And to my dying day, I'm going to be proud of this fact. I tried to get you in the game. I tried to equip you for the works of the ministry. I tried to equip you. Whether you did it or not, whether you agreed with it, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are his emissaries. We are his disciples. He told us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always into the end of the age. Why is he with us always into the end of the age? Because it's a scary place to go into all the world and teach people stuff they don't want to believe. They believe the lies that they've been taught in their textbooks and believe all the lies. And when you come along and say, hey, listen, sorry, but that ain't true. And let me show you why that ain't true. They take their ball and go home. You want to believe something that's not true? I know this. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Righteous man. I try to be a righteous man. And sometimes I say, are you kidding me, Lord? You want me to do that? Can't somebody else do that, Lord? Can't you find somebody else? Okay, I hear your voice. I'll obey it. Folks, that's how simple Christianity is supposed to be. That's how simple it's going to be. And I'm just excited. Just let me vent a little bit longer here. I'm just so excited about this. Chad's here. I don't know how long Chad's been my Coach Dave Live bud, but it's been a while. It's been a while. I get to see Ray LeBlanc, and I said, Dave Allison, and I start down that list of people we'll get to see him. Wow. I don't think Randy can make it up. I'd love to see Randy. I think he told me he's not able to make it. That's okay. Not everybody can make it. But, man, it's like an old reunion. Come and join us. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm off on a tangent here. But I want you to know this, folks. I say this all the time. I'm a coach. I'm a coach. I'm not Pastor Dave, although people call me that. I'm an ordained minister. I'm Reverend Dobbenmeyer, if you want to. I'm Coach Dave. My whole life I've been Coach Dobbenmeyer. People, they call me coach. Woody Hayes wrote a book about that. They call me coach. I'm a coach. I'm always a coach. And what's the job of the coach? Can somebody tell me what the job of the coach is? Well, to train the players. And then after you train the players, to get them in the game. And then after the game's over, to huddle them back up to get them prepared to play the next game. And what's really, really encouraging to me is some of you are in the game and some of you are playing. And some of you are getting your asses beat and sometimes you're having a victory. But we know this, right? We're fighting against an evil force who, for the most part, is in control of America because the pastor said, we're not going to get involved. We're not going to mix religion and politics here. We're just going to give the culture over to the devil. You know, I'm telling you the truth, right? And there are so many stars on this team that you don't even know about, and I don't even know about. People are making plays and spiking the football all the time, and we don't even know. Steve Deck drove to my house yesterday, got here last night, after getting off a plane and being down in South America. He got in, drove all the way down. And I know this, Steve Deck's got my back. And can I tell you something? I got his. I don't even know where he goes to church. If I were to sit Steve down, what religion are you, Steve? I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. I don't care. Do you love the Lord? Are you my brother in Christ in arms? Come on, bud. Let's lock arms and let's go forward. And what if we had that attitude in the American, in your town, in the American church, that I don't care what your denomination is. I don't care if you speak in tongues. I don't care if you believe in the rapture. I don't care what you want to. There's evil right there. Let's lock arms and let's go take it on. What a world it would be. Instead, we love to have those denominational monikers, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic. It's like freaking 18 football teams, different universities here. I'm going to shut up here. I'm not going to shut up. I just want you to know that some of you are laboring out there in silence. I know that. You're laboring out there alone. Some of you, I know, want to make a difference and want to do more. And we want to try to help you do that. We want to try to help you do that. So people, I'm sorry, let me get moving here. I'm gonna play. This is gonna be good. I'm still getting contacted with people. Where do I register and all that? But Spencer, throw up the homepage, if you would. Coach Dave Live, folks, register there. Go to Coach Dave Live. Please tell us you're coming. Yeah, please tell us you're coming. Pass on. Tell us you're coming. Register. Come on. So that you have food. Right. And then some people said, well, where are we going to go, Coach? Which ones are we going to visit? I said, well, first of all, you know, 100 people trucking around in different cars, we can't go see a whole lot of places because people will get lost because a lot of these mounds aren't just easy to get to. But we're going to go. But I ain't going to tell you where we're going to go because I don't want the protesters to show up, which, by the way, happens as well. And then those of you who aren't here, I would just pray that you would pray for us. We are treading on enemy territory this weekend, man. Whether you believe in it or don't believe in it, whether you believe in God and the devil, and whether angels and demons and giants, and whether you believe in all that stuff or not, we are engaging in spiritual war like maybe has never been done here in Central Ohio, and I don't know how long. So you better know this, devil's pissed. He knows what's going on. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we know this. And when you sign up for the army, there may be casualties. We understand all that, right? We understand it. It's a war. It's a war. And so I would ask that those of you who are not able to come, that you'd hold us up in prayer. Maybe some of you do some fasting for us. This is deep, deep spiritual stuff that we're messing with. The opposition has been great. The opposition has been great. I got guys coming in. We still got stuff we got to do. But God, let me take a deep breath here. Well, number 12 for me real quick. I want to hear some more testimony. I got some good stuff, but I want to hear some more testimonies from you today. Well, number 5, the Lord is my shepherd. Hmm? I'm the shepherd of the Dobbenmeyer clan. My three children, their spouses, our double-digit grandchildren, I'm the shepherd. I take seriously their well-being. Does your Heavenly Father take seriously your well-being? You think he's off on the internet, playing on his phone, not paying attention, not knowing what's going on? No, he's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. See, we can't understand. Just like right now, can anybody explain to me how these things work? How I can type in a text message and Ray gets it? Anybody explain? I can't even explain it. I can't explain it. So it tells me that there's a blending of worlds. Would that be the right thing? Blending of dimensions happening right here where we are right now. It's happening right now. A blending of it. Where did that technology come? They can track every one of your moves. You think it was just created? You think Big Bang? That all happened because of the Big Bang and they all figured it out? There's not some greater knowledge and greater wisdom out there than we understand. And some call it Buddha, and some call it Hindu, some call it whatever, some call it Pope, some call it Reverend. Really? The Lord, Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's what he wants me to do. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow of death. It ain't the real thing. Yea, though I walk, scroll down, please. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ray, that'd be a boom. Vinny, that'd be a boom. Didn't say there ain't going to be no evil. It says I ain't going to be controlled by it. Now, I'm not going to be stupid. Huh? I recognize evil. Flee him around. I understand that. But I'm not going to be controlled by fear. Because God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So fear must be a very powerful weapon. And though I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. You believe that? His rod and his staff, his correction and his direction comfort me. In fact, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Well, how the heck did I get in a table in the presence of my enemies? How did that happen? Well, he prepared the table. He put me there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And you know what? Goodness and mercy. Right there. It's following me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that's either real or that ain't real. Oh, I got some more, but I'm going to let you get in here. Let me show you. Let me show you a miracle real quickly, and then I'm going to open it up. I haven't even looked. Does anybody have their hands up yet? I've been rattling on here for a minute. Let me see here. Yeah, okay, cool. Dave, just a second, huh? Look at this. In the midst of all this mess, pull up number three. God's always doing something. A report touts LifeWise. LifeWise is meteoric growth. I don't like LifeWise. That's where they take kids out of, Betty drives for LifeWise. That's where they take kids out of public schools where they're not allowed to mention the name of Jesus. And at lunchtime, they take them to churches where they hear about Jesus. It's a program, privately funded program, and it's grown 11,000% since 2019. Let me ask you something. Why do we have to take Christ out of the school and sneak him off into some corner? Although it seems to be working. Oh, yeah. Did you know it's based right here in Hilliard, Ohio? Hilliard Based Bible Education Group, LifeWise. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, real quick, Coach, I want to go back to the scripture you had up there. It says, thy rod and staff comfort me. So what that says, sometimes it's a swat on the butt, it's other times it's a hug, right?
That's right. That's right. It's all about direction, right? Nobody likes that rod of correction. Huh? Did it ever dawn on you that some of the things that the Lord takes you through is to prepare you for where you are now? I would have never, 30 years ago, I told you this, I was going to be the next Woody Hayes. So that was it. I was the best coach I knew. That's bragging, but I was the best coach I knew. And that's what I was going to do. And all of a sudden, in 1989, the Lord brought a battle to me. Stripped me of everything. Changed my heart's desire. Set me on a new course. And here I am at 73 years old doing this. Only doing this because why? Psalm 37:23 says, my very steps are ordered by him. Mine are. So is yours. But some of you are missing it because you're hearing the voice, but you're not obeying. And the reason you don't obey is because the devil tells you, you'll never make it. You're not smart enough. You don't have any money. What will people think? They're going to laugh at you. Blah, 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 blah. Don't know where to start. Right? Right? All those obstacles they put in front, all of the obstacles. And we sit back and we are controlled by a spirit of fear, which the Lord didn't give us. I've told you before that favorite line in The Lion King, when he looks down in the water and sees a reflection and it says, you are so much more than you've become. Wow, we're in crazy times, man. We're in crazy, crazy times. The government's not going to save us. Donald Trump is not going to save us. Paula White, his spiritual advisor, ain't going to save us. Going to be done by me and you, individuals, stepping into the gap and saying, not on my watch, not in my town, not on my church, not in my neighborhood, ain't no more, no. All power has been given unto me, both heaven and earth, he said, go ye, therefore. Do what? Teach him to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the, wow. Wow. I feel like at 7:33, somebody come on. I got more. I don't want to go there yet. Somebody come on in. Oh, me or oh, my. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to say another word until somebody raises their hand.
Keep on going, Kirk.
Joe, daggone it. It's so good, isn't it? Isn't it so good? Isn't it so good? I'm just going to tell you. I hugged my wife this morning. See, she wasn't. Bible says, here's how I know the Bible's true. It says the lion will lay down with the lamb. That's me and Michelle. But if truth would be told, I love my wife so much. And what I have drug her through. The gospel of Rodney King, that would be Michelle in her heart. What's the gospel of Rodney King? Why can't we all just get along? You remember that? Remember that? That would be her heart. And she's married to me. And to think of the collateral damage that has hit those I love. As I ran in, I'm not bragging. As I ran into the fire, I put on my fireman's gear, Craig, and I ran into that burning fire called America. I got to tell you something. The flames hit her. Oh, yeah, yeah, flames burned up our life. Got to tell you. But there she stood, so out of her character. She'd rather love everybody. I'd rather coach everybody. Lion and the lamb. And you got to know this. If you're going to try to make a difference in this culture and in this world that we're in, they're going to hate you. You understand that? They are going to hate you. Why? They are of their father, the devil. And the works of their daddy, they will do. Well, I'm of my father, Jesus, and the works of my father, I will do. And we have a conflict, don't we? Don't we have a conflict coming right in front of us? And the question we have to ask is, why has God's team surrendered? Looking just to the end, the end's, oh boy, just hang in there. Just keep going to church and paying your tithes and raising your hand. And just hang in there. We'll be out of here soon. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be a frontline warrior. I want to be a Flip Benning. I want to be a Rusty Thomas. I want to be a Dale Sosha. That's all I want. Yeah, go along to get along. Hell, anybody can do that. I can do that. Yeah, I just want to be a go along, get along. Why doesn't everybody love everybody? Why can't we all get along in Christianity? When at war. By the way, manifesting right in your house. You tell me everything's copacetic there at your house. Your family all get along together, and your cousins, everybody just love. No. You take a stand for Jesus, they're going to hate you. Wonder how many guys I never served. Wonder how many guys enlisted in the Marines or the Navy or whatever it might be. Went through boot camp, thought, what the hell am I doing here? Well, it was preparation. Yeah, it was for preparation. To where you stepped on the battlefield and they were really shooting at you. But you understood it. So we have to ask ourselves again this question. Is your local church community a boot camp or a retirement village? And how many of you heard people say, stay away from that coach, he's just going to get you in trouble? Damn right. Damn right. Look at the J6ers. Look at the J6ers. As far as I know, they were, for the most part, probably good Christian men, probably. They weren't going to overthrow the government. And when the good Christian men show up, we're shocked to find out that the devil's got a team. The devil's got a team. And not only does it have a team, their coaches and their captains and their leaders are awesome at lying and deceiving. They convinced the whole world that the Christians who showed up were the bad guys. They were the bad guys. The good guys were, that was those cops up there shooting pellets down at them. Those are the good guys, right? Those are the good guys. The bad guys were these Christians that showed up. Folks, that's biblical. Is that not biblical? And you know what? The church believed the government was the good guys. It's... gotta see it through God's eyes. Let me show you this something, okay? Number two, pull up number two. I don't know if you guys know Pastor James David Manning. I know Pastor Manning. I could call him right now. We've been to his church. We went into Harlem, I don't know, it was 10 years ago, longer than that, and we took a bread truck in there, and we fed the people at Harlem out of Pastor Manning's church. I spoke at Pastor Manning's church. Okay, I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to have a relationship with this guy. And he's in Harlem. And he's been in there for God knows how long. He doesn't have a massive congregation. But he is, from my perspective, one of the most straight-talking men I know. He calls a spade, as you're going to find out here in a minute, right? And tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I said this the other day. I mean, a racist bone in my body. I don't even know what the hell that means. I guess I'm supposed to hate Vinny. I guess. Why? Because of the color of his skin. You do know that, don't you? The white people hate black people, and black people hate white people, and then all the problems in the ghetto, it's white people. So you know that, right? It's the programming. You understand the programming? And whites are afraid of blacks because why? They tell us to be. They're all mad. They all hate us. They're all blah, 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 right? And then the blacks are told to hate whitey because white, he's a slave owner and oppressive, and we buy that shit. Partner, we buy it. We live like that, right? You know why I don't hang out with black guys? Same reason they don't hang out with me. They've been told we don't get along with each other. Well, I'm black and you're whitey. We ain't get along. Yin and yang. And so use race to divide and conquer us. Religion to divide and conquer us. If they can keep us apart, they win. So hold your ears, because Pastor Manning is going to say some words that you probably don't like. All right? And this would be the most racist thing that you've ever heard, except it's coming from a black man talking about black people. Go ahead.
Any nigger who had the slightest inclination to vote for Mondami, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You sick. Mondami had a celebration down in City Hall of all the immigrants, all the Muslims, all the immigrants down there. No niggers. Here's a man that hates the Constitution and that which makes us Americans. He's a Muslim for crying out loud. He's a jihadist at core. His wife is a lesbo jihadist, Hamas supporter, intifada believer. Hear you nigga talking about Mondami gonna give us a free bus ride. Hell, it doesn't matter if they're handing out free sandwiches in hell. I ain't going. Nigga, are you crazy? You get a free bus ride. Don't get a free bus. Get your ass a job. Get a job, nigga. Go to work. Free bus ride. I always want something free. Oh, he's our boy. All you got to say to get a nigga is say we got free food. And that nigga talking we have free grocery stores. You should have seen the nigga jumping up and down. Won't work. Don't got a job. Can't hold a job. Ain't got no money. Don't have no security. But Mondami going to give us a free food. Damn. I don't need you to give me no free food. I buy my own. There's something wrong with black folk. Now, this got Moses in trouble. You think I shopped him? Sell out in it.
Okay, there you go, right? Huh? You're not free to talk about that, right? We're not free to talk about our fellow Christians like that, right? Expecting God to do miracles without you having to do anything at all. You don't have to get your hands dirty. You don't have to get your feet wet. You just have to sit back and pray and then let God do it. Ain't no shoveling. Ain't no moving of dirt. Ain't no tearing down to build back. None of that, right? Huh? We think that all of a sudden God's just going to miraculously come in, step in and move. Hey, he said, all power is given unto me, and I give it unto you. Go ye, teach him to deserve all I commanded you. Now go on. Hey, it's going to get ugly, but I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. And you know what's really good about it? Goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, because goodness and mercy is behind you. It's what is left behind you because you came through. You are a bushwhacker. I'm a bushwhacker. I clear brush for those coming behind me. Why can't we see this? Because we're so heavenly conscious that we're no damn earthly good. We are no good. Christians are no good to the earth. None. For the most part. The good ones end up in jail. Huh? Oh, yeah. The good ones end up in jail. So we need a team for the times in which we find ourselves. People send me messages. Dale send me. I go, don't have time to look out. Get after it later. Huh? Poem number 11. I got two more I'm going to show you. Number 11, Mark Wayne Mullen. He's the new Department of Homeland Security. I don't know much about him, but he's not ashamed of the gospel. Go ahead, play it real quick.
I don't walk away from the fact that I stand here as a Christian in front of you. I do want to admit that I'm a very flawed Christian. I'm not perfect. But my life changed when I got saved when I was 20 years old. Until then, my dad said I was more likely to go to prison than I was to be successful. Truth is, I probably was going down that path. I watched this little movie called American History X that really changed my life, and I thought I'm never going to prison after that one.
Reason. Folks, you understand that he's standing before the national media in front of an American flag, talking to the press about Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
But I wasn't walking down the path that I should have been walking down until I realized there was something higher, or there was something bigger than myself. And it's when I dedicated my life to the Lord, but yet I still stand in front of you as a very imperfect person, but also believe in the Word too. And if you believe in the Word, then you'll believe in Philippians 4:13 is what everybody always quotes, and it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I bet you there's somebody in this room that's got that tattooed on you. And I guarantee you, if you go to most of your officers, there's going to be somebody in the briefing room that's got that tattooed on them. And it's like a rally cry, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if you actually get into Philippians 4, it's Paul talking about choosing an attitude. He has chose to have a good attitude no matter what he's going through. He's chose to decide, even if I'm locked up, because I know what it's like to be locked up and be beaten, I can still choose to know that I'm on the right path where the Lord wants me to go. He says, I know what it's like to be free. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to want. I know what it's like to be thirsty. And I know what it's like to have plenty to drink. So that I've dealt with every situation, and I've come to the conclusion that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Folks, hang on. Folks, this is a government official openly preaching the gospel to the media. Are you getting this? Wouldn't you love to see Trump do this? See, Trump can't do it because he's not this kind of Christian. And they'll do it. We're seeing Marco Rubio's kind of preaching like this too. Until bold Christian men stand up, we're going to get the same shit we're already getting. Go ahead.
Needs to hear that. It's ice. No matter what the media wants to say, I know you're doing your job every day. And I want you to know I am proud to be part of it. I take it with tremendous pride, and I'm willing to stand beside you and stand in front of you and defend you every single day. And I mean this sincerely when I say this. I love you guys. I love your families. And I'm still going to get up every single morning, and I'm going to pray for you. And how I keep my attitude straight is I say this over and over again. I remind myself, love the people, love the call. You have to love your call or you wouldn't be here. And you do have a love for the people because you're getting the worst of the worst off the streets, and you're protecting those that just want to go out and walk their streets and be safe. And you're giving them that opportunity one street at a time. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America.
It says I've lost my connection. Am I still here, Spence? Okay. It's spinning up or saying I lost my connection. Hey, folks. What if we had men like that stand up boldly to defend the gospel instead of hiding it, instead of living in a culture to society where our pastors tell us not to get involved? Don't get involved. Well, Mark Driscoll, like this guy too. I might go to his church if I was out to number 9. Go ahead.
Some will say Jesus was silent on homosexuality. The argument from silence proves nothing. It's actually a fallacy in rhetoric and debate. Jesus didn't say anything about incest. Jesus didn't say anything about pedophilia. It doesn't mean he was for it. It means as a Bible teaching rabbi, he agreed with all of the Old Testament and all of its decrees that had been believed and assumed by God's people for generations. Jesus, if he doesn't correct what those who preceded him taught according to the scriptures, it's because it was settled fact, not because he needed to correct anything. Jesus does talk about homosexuality. And he says this in Mark chapter 10, verses 5 and 8. He establishes the divine design for marriage. Jesus said, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife. Two shall become one flesh. Jesus says, this is how it's supposed to work. And then in Luke 17, 29 through 30, Jesus talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. He talks about fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Sodom and Gomorrah is back in the book of Genesis. It was a perverted nation. And there were a few of God's servants showed up, and the men in the town came out and said, give them to us so that we can assault them. And God delivered his servants, and he destroyed that Sodom and Gomorrah cesspool. The point is this, Jesus does talk about these things. And sometimes what people will say is, I don't believe in the God of the Old Testament, just the God of the New Testament. And I don't believe all of the Bible, just the words of Jesus. I'm one of those progressive red letter Christians. Actually, you're a liar. You don't believe the Bible because Jesus quoted, taught the Bible as a rabbi. He was a fan of the Old Testament. Furthermore, he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and you won't talk about it. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Everyone will reap what they sow. And if you have something in your heart where you want to rebel against God's plan, particularly regarding your purity, you can find someone to make an argument that sounds reasonable to you, but it will fail in the presence of God.
Amen. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
Yeah, what's the first pastor you had on there? What's his famous saying? Amen. Boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka. Boom shakalaka. That's good. Right? So folks, they use racism as a defense. They use it as a defense. I'm not going to get into the whole Israel Jew thing. It's a defense. Just be righteous, will you? Just be righteous. Isn't that hard? Just be righteous. I'm about tapped out. I don't have time to get into all that. Okay, one more thing. What is a miracle? What is a miracle? I have a quote. I learned this when I was in the sixth grade. I don't know if I can find it, or I'm going to try to find it in my head. Happiness consists in small events and pleasures that occur every day, than great forces of nature that happen but seldom to a man in the course of his life. I could win the lotto. That'd be a big deal. But I'm happy because I get up every morning. I got a wife that loves me, grandchildren that adore me, Christ that loves me, serves me. I don't need a bigger house, more money, more fame. I'm a child of the King. See, unfortunately, somewhere along the line, we have allowed Christianity to go from serving the King of Kings to having the King of Kings serve us. Come and be a Christian. Come and be a Christian. You'll get healthy, wealthy, and wise, and everybody will love you, and it'll all be love, love, love. Well, that's a counterfeit gospel. That ain't true. Anybody out there who's really walking in the truth, people are hating you on you. They're hating on you. Right? Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. For so persecuted them the prophets which were before you. For you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We are. Let your light so shine, do we? Will we? Can we? Anybody? Come on in. I'll shut down early. I feel it. I just feel so deeply. I'm so proud. I can't even tell you how honored and proud I am to think that nearly 100 of you, maybe more, I don't know, are going to come here this weekend. I'm going to come here. We're going to get in the cars and go drive hours. Pay money to stay in the hotel, probably money they don't have. Sacrifices they had to make. And they're going to come here. And Michelle and I are unbelievably honored that they would do so. And I would just ask all of you out there again, if you would, just pray. Just cover us with prayer. I'm serious as hell. Folks, we are stepping on enemy-held territory. Lost lands, that wicked place over there. Enemy-held territory. And to know that 100 of you, maybe not quite 100, I decided, Coach, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go. I'm going to go on that front line. I'm going to step over. I'm going to step into the battle. I'm unbelievably honored. Go ahead, Kevin. Wrap us up here.
I wished I could find a black robe to bring to put on you. Because I'm telling you, you're just like you are a modern day black robe regiment.
It's my call. See, it's my calling, and I'm anointed to do it, Kevin.
I know.
I don't want a pat on the back, and everybody.
It ain't.
I'm just doing my job. All right. I'm just doing my job.
It ain't a pat on the back, and it ain't blowing smoke up your back. I'm telling you, you provide the motivation. And you've provided the motivation to get me out of my skin, to get Chad out of his skin, to get Randy out of his skin, to get Joseph out of his skin, all of us to do things we probably never would have done.
That's right.
Amen, Kevin.
And I never said it was going to be bed and roses, did I? I never said that. Chocolates and tea. I never told you it was going to be that. You're going to be hated, man.
I've lost relationships. I've lost friendships. I've been called a crazy, dumbass conspiracy theorist. I've been to everything. I've had the FBI up my ass. I've had all these things.
Yep.
And I'm still here.
That's what the Bible said would happen, right? That's what the Bible said would happen to you, didn't it, Kevin?
It would. It did. It said. And you know what? What it's done is it's tempered me. It's just like the silversmith drawing off the dross. And that's what I'm sharp, and I'm going to continue to be, and I'm getting fired back up again because you put the fire under me.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kevin. Let me wrap it up with this. I mean, my old buddy George came out and helped me yesterday, mowed sky high for me. You know, George is God bless George. He fire hoses everybody comes to, flat earth, Bible's been changed, King James by all of it. And the zeal of the Lord is incredible. It's incredible. But I tell people this, excuse me. Jesus said we were the salt of the earth. Salt meaning it's what you need. Not the sugar of the earth. Tastes good, but it isn't what you need. Sugar makes you sick. Right? And so whatever reason, I don't know, past the salt ministries, God has anointed us and you as part of this to be hated. When are we going to understand that? They're going to hate you. Why? They hated him first. The Bible says they hate you because you represent truth. And it's much more comfortable to la, 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 la. Right? Right? That's what they want you to do. But I just encourage you to stand boldly, speak boldly, carry that mantle of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. There's a reward waiting. And I don't do it for the reward. I do it because Jesus Christ is my coach. And he asked me to block that guy. I'm going to block that guy for him. And if we all had that attitude and understood that our job is to serve him, not him to serve us, things would be different. Thanks for supporting us. You can send us a few bucks if you want to. We're a little bit over, probably over budget, but it's okay. God will provide it. And pray for us, all right? Pray for us. It's going to be an unbelievable weekend. Spencer's coming. How about that? He's going to come. See you. Thanks, folks. See you tomorrow.